All right, so Uwe Boll, Raw USA movie reviews with our special guest, Matt Bradley Sergi. Welcome.
Happy to be here.
And he is the host of the Sequel Cast, and he is also the author of Sequel Cast Podcast and the author of the, what is the book called again?
It's called The Films of Uwe Boll, Volume 1, The Video Game Movies.
Yes, it's a great book. You guys should buy it. You can find it on Amazon. And you can get it on Kindle. It's a great book. He's a great author and a good friend. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you.
Okay, so we've both seen it. We've both seen The Flash by now. I just saw it. And why don't you give me a synopsis of what's the plot of this movie?
I guess before I give the synopsis, do we want to avoid spoilers or?
Oh, fucking, let's spoil the fuck out of this.
Okay, let's spoil it. Okay, I just wanted to get that up front because a lot goes on in this movie. And yeah, this was interesting because, like, I'm not much of a comic book guy. Like, I've certainly read graphic novels and stuff, but the Flash isn't a character I'm especially familiar with. But yeah, in the movie you have the Flash, who's a guy that can run really fast, and when he does so he sees a lot of bad special effects.
Well,
And
first let's start
yeah.
with the fact that I was a little bit because I the Flash and Zack Snyder, not Zack Snyder's in J.J. Abrams, not J.J. Abrams. What's that fucking guy named, the Buffy guy?
Oh, Joss Whedon.
Joss Whedon. The Joss Whedon version of Justice League shows the Flash as like, I want snacks. And like then the more serious version doesn't depict him that way at all. So I was kind of wondering how they were going to depict him in this. Were they going to pick the goofy "I need to eat" Flash? And they did.
That's a good point. Yeah. It because those two Justice League versions are quite different, the Snyder cut and the Joss Whedon.
Yeah. So what are they trying to say, that the original version is canon? But anyway, yes. So keep going. So the Flash runs fast, and we know all that shit. Let's.
Okay.
But look, I'm just going to point out one thing about the movie first before we continue on. It feels like you have to have seen Man of Steel to really give a fuck. Or the whole movie is like fan service to the movie. Like you have to have seen all these different things beforehand to feel emotionally invested in the film.
Yeah, it does feel a bit like a homework assignment in that way. And it's been delayed for so long that the multiverse thing isn't really novel. It seems like there's like six movies that have been doing that in the past few years.
Yes. I think it's lazy, which is why I've been avoiding them. So this is really my first time seeing a multi. Actually, no, I walked out of Doctor Strange, didn't I? I reviewed that here,
That's right.
and so like, yeah, the multiverse thing is done to death, and this one was super fan servicey. I have to say, it was appealing to somebody in my generational demographic because all that Michael Keaton fan service was fucking awesome. I hate to say it. I hate to feel like a fanboy. But all those lines that he dropped, like, let's get nuts and fucking I'm Batman, come on. I was like, yes, in the theater. I was screaming.
That stuff is cool. I mean, to try and sum up the storyline, there's a lot going on here, but basically the Flash, his mom died and his dad was a wrongfully accused, was a suspect, and
The guy from Office Space.
oh, is it? Gee, I haven't seen. Yeah, I guess you're right. I haven't thought of Office Space in years. Yeah.
Yeah, he's all old now, but he plays the dad who's in prison. So.
Right. And so he says he accidentally figures out he can go back in time if he runs a certain way. So he's like, I'm going to go back and keep my mom from dying, and thus my dad will be innocent and not have to be in jail forever with a death sentence or whatever that deal is. And Ben Affleck Batman tells him, yo, don't do that. And he does it. And you get
And
kind of,
wait, pause one
yeah.
second. Hold on. I want to say, even though Batfleck is in the movie barely, as Bruce Wayne, he felt very comfortable in the role. He felt like he really was finally settling into the Bruce Wayne role and it's being taken away from him, or he probably wants to get out of it by now. But I thought he did a good job.
I thought he did very good. He doesn't have a whole lot to do, but there's sort of a scene where he's like, you know, there's nothing about you that needs fixing. Like, why are you obsessed with this time travel idea?
Well, that small scene of his was better than any of his Batman versus Superman scenes.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And Batman versus Superman, he was pretty self-conscious when he was acting like he was a drunk Bruce Wayne or something to flirt with Wonder Woman. I haven't seen that movie in a while, but, you know, I think he's okay like that. But a lot of it, yeah, I don't know why they did these movies the way they did. And they just put out Justice League with a bunch of these characters that people, that the mainstream viewer might not be terribly familiar with. Because it's a big pill to swallow.
Well, this whole movie is made for fan nerds. I hate to say it. Like, mm-hmm. I loved seeing Nick Cage as Superman.
Yes. See,
you'd have to be a fan nerd to even know, because the average Joe doesn't know that Nick Cage was almost Superman. So the average Joe sees that, they're probably like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, it's obviously geared towards us. Or
yes, well, not just that, yes. But you have several jokes about in this alternate universe or timeline or whatever it is that a lot of the movie takes place in, Back to the Future starred Eric Stoltz, which is a very inside baseball joke.
Yeah.
That,
yeah, I'm sure Spielberg was thrilled that they it's like, I'm relevant again, yes.
And but I mean
fucking, oh, you know, I want to point something out too. The McFarlane toys for this McFarlane toys look beautiful, they fall apart very easily, yes, but they spoiled this movie, because I saw the Dark Flash toy like 6 months ago, and in the movie I could see where it was going with the alternate Barry turning evil.
Yeah, that was predictable, I thought. And you mentioned alternate Barry, that's a good thing. So it's a lot of Back to the Future kind of shenanigans. And the first half of this is more of a comedy than I was expecting. And I think I like that more than the kind of more typical action stuff at the end.
And well, it felt more, I don't know. I felt like when it started, it was more of the generic Marvel type film, and mm-hmm. towards the end what made it different in those drawn out action scenes was the fact that there was real damage inflicted. Like when Supergirl fought with Zod, she picked up that fucking giant like beam and she beat the fuck out of him, and they showed the hits. I liked that. I thought that was great, instead of them cutting away as yeah. they usually do.
The violence was cool. It's ballsy yeah. that they did it. So many scenes are in broad daylight, which I think brings focus to the effects in a way that you might not notice otherwise. And some of the effects are good and some of them aren't. The babies at the beginning in particular really bothered me.
It looked fake. Yeah, it looked fake.
It looked, and in the, I don't know, what do you call it? There's like that kind of neutral zone where he's...
Yeah, yeah. It looked like a weird postcard. Yeah.
It looked like postcards. It reminded me a bit of like the arena at the end of Spawn where he's fighting in hell and you have like the fake crowd in the audience.
Yeah, those were great effects.
Right. And but yeah, that you can see the different universes and stuff like that. Fan service stuff was cool, but it's so much thrown at you. Like, it did feel like it was a goodbye to this
era. That was the heart. That was the heart of the movie, was all the fan service, dude. Like, really, yeah. I felt that when it started, it was like, I felt like I knew where it was going. I felt like it never really deviated beyond toy film. So we're sitting here kind of discussing it like it's got some kind of a philosophical or emotional stakes, when in reality this was probably a very well made boardroom committee film. Like, every thought in this film was made with like, how many toys can we sell, how much merchandise can we possibly spin this right. off if it were to be successful, and that's why I think people like Michael Shannon felt so unfulfilled stepping into this role. And he was said that it was like, what you said, like action figures, right?
Yeah, he said he felt the multiverse is like a kid's playing with action figures, and there's some truth in that. And yet, like, I do think the trailers for this movie spoiled an awful lot. Like, I get you have Michael Keaton as Batman, you want to sell people on it. But man, if that would have been a surprise, like in the theater, that would have been
spoiler, the big spoiler, the one at the end with George Clooney Batman.
Yes.
Even if he wasn't as Batman, even if he was just as Bruce Wayne, that was the awesomest moment, because it finally solidifies Batman and Robin as canon.
Yes. And I bet you there was younger people who might not even know George Clooney was a Batman and maybe thought it was just George Clooney.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you'd have to be an idiot to not have seen, even though it sucks, it's become endearingly suckish. And I'm sure that you have to have seen it by now, Batman and Robin, I would think.
Batman and Robin, I mean, I saw in the theater and I went with my whole family, and then I had to apologize to my mom for 30 minutes afterwards because she wouldn't shut up about how much she hated it. And I think in retrospect, I think Batman and Robin is a lot better than Batman Forever because at least it picks a tone and sticks to it.
I don't know. Like, Batman Forever, we'll never really know. Like, with all that news about Kevin Smith has the original cut, we'll never really know what it was originally intended to be like. It felt like it was cut up really bad to be more marketable. Batman and Robin, there is no director's cut. It's exactly the way they envisioned it from the start. There is, you know what I mean? So,
yeah. Well, I mean, back to the Flash here, you know, there's two Barrys, and there's the one that's more serious, so kind of like the Zack Snyder Flash, and the one that's more like the Joss Whedon goofy kind of stoner guy who does the laugh like every 2 seconds.
That's a good point, huh?
Really, so, annoying.
Maybe they were trying to give a little nod to the I Like Snacks Flash there.
Oh, that's a good point, right? Because he always has Twinkies or
some kind
of food around him.
But I don't know if I had to say if I liked this movie or not, I would say it was all right. It was okay. You know, I wanted really badly to rip it apart like I did with Encanto. Fucking what's it called?
Elemental.
Craplemental. Yes, I wanted to rip it apart so bad, just like that. But the movie wasn't that bad. I wouldn't say it's all the hype of it being the best superhero movie ever made. I think that's bullshit. What do you think? You think it's the best superhero movie ever made?
Absolutely not. I liked it a good deal less than you did. And in fact,
really?
Yeah. I mean, I just thought it was really pandering and stuff. And like the cameos were cool, but you're given so much. It's kind of,
well, that's the whole movie. The whole fucking movie is the fucking cameos.
Right, right. But like towards the end, you get, you know, it. I mean, I thought it was a neat visual that the different multiverses look kind of like a sphere with different floors and people looking out of it.
Yeah,
and
well, you could talk about the visuals and all the fine talents that went into making the art of the film, but that story and the heart of the character development, it's really not there.
And they try it, right? They really want people to cry near the end when there's the stuff with he says goodbye to the mom before, you know, going back to.
But that's all generic. Like, that's the boardroom saying. Yes. How people responded to Guardians of the Galaxy when Peter Quinn's mom died. How can we replicate that? Like, that's exactly
right.
Fucking bullshit. Boring. So all that shit about his mom, I feel like that was so fucking like Silver Spoons or something, you know?
And it was like such a focus of, they spent so much time on that. And I don't think it worked. And yet I liked when the young and older Barry kind of were fooling around in the mad scientist lab trying to get electrocuted. Like, I think that business sort of worked for me. And when the team is getting together, I mean, this is kind of an inverse Justice League movie in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Supergirl was okay, surprisingly. I thought that it was going to be really cheesy. Yeah, she didn't have any development at all, but the actress did a good job.
She did, and it was a lot of her acting with her face. I mean, she didn't have a whole lot of lines, or when she did, they were sort of generic, but just with poses and
I was really afraid that they were going to make her like super crazy powerful, just smug, and like that's the stuff that everybody hates that they see in these like powerful female characters. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's when they're really smug and they're so smarmy and they're like, you know, like that thing about what's her name? Fucking Thor's asshole. Captain Marvel.
Oh, Captain Marvel.
in the infamous review, you know what I'm talking about.
Right, right.
But anyway, yes, let's get back on track. Wait a second.
Sure. It's easy to get off track with this movie, though, because it references so many other things. Yes.
Well, we finally got to see Nick Cage fight as the spider, the spider creature.
Yeah, no, that was cool. As someone, you know,
that is an inside thing with Kevin Smith wrote the script, and John Peters he told him things like what Uwe Boll tells me when he wants to write a script. He's like, I want to see a big action scene with a giant spider. And Kevin Smith wrote it, and he felt like it was stupid, but he did it anyway. And we finally got to see it completely animated in the film. Very exciting, but only super nerds will know that or give a fuck about that, I'm sure.
And it should be noted in the Teen Titans cartoon movie, Nicolas Cage does voice Superman in that, which is...
I noticed that too. Funny. I snuck into that movie, and I snuck in right in that moment, right before he did his very short cameo in that cartoon. And then once he did, I left.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, with The Flash, I wanted to like it more, and I don't think Michael Shannon as Zod was that good here, but I didn't like him much in Man of Steel either.
But you still had to have seen Man of Steel to even know what the fuck is going on.
Of course, of course, right.
Which makes the movie weaker automatically, because that's what he means by toy film. It's like, aliens are coming down, they're attacking. That's pretty much the depth of, if you saw that flat, cold, without having seen Man of Steel, you'd be like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? You'd accept it.
Yeah, even his plan doesn't make sense if you haven't seen Man of Steel, which is terraforming Earth to make it to a new Krypton. Or if you're Marlon Brando, you pronounce it Krypton.
Krypton.
So it's okay. I mean, I don't know. It's not doing as well as they wanted it to, but I think sort of...
It's all because of Zaslav, man. David Zaslav.
There's Zaslav. There's... The stuff with, I mean, I thought it was quite strange for James Gunn to announce his, you know, start of his decade plan of movies for DC and at the start of a year. And basically, so what you're saying, everything else that comes out this year is shit or it doesn't count. Like, I don't think that helps.
I heard that Aquaman 2 is terrible. I heard it was testing really poorly.
Is it?
Yeah, I heard that they had to reshoot like 45% of the movie.
First one made like $1 billion or close to it. Like the first one did.
I don't think they were expecting it to be a hit like it was. So they didn't really know where to take it in the sequel. And it's cost a whole lot of money because a lot of it is underwater.
Yes.
A lot of it has effect shots. I remember I stayed till the end of this movie and the effects peep crew was like thousands of people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fucking people. So for a movie like Aquaman, I'm surprised that they're waiting till Christmas when they think people will just automatically go to the movies because it's Christmas, and the fact that it's Aquaman will be an extra bonus, and word of mouth won't really hit until after the first week. And that's when they'll make the bulk of their money. But I think that they're sitting on a bomb, honestly. I think it's going to be a lukewarm opening. I think the movie's going to suck. And I think that's why there's all this talk about Momoa being, what the fuck, Lobo, was it?
Oh, yeah, that was something going around.
He wants to move on because this is done. This is a character killer. It's going to be bad. So, and plus we have all those Amber Heard, boycotters. I wonder if that's going to hurt the film.
I don't know if that'll have a meaningful difference. I mean, whether how much she'll be in the movie or not at the time that course case, she did testify it affected how much she was involved. At least it's what they shot at that time. That she's not in it as much as she
has an action scene, and like I heard that she gives birth. I don't know.
Oh, huh.
That's the excuse why she's not in the movies, because she's given birth. But that could be, they could have changed that. But I know that her and fucking Dolph Lundgren have an action scene together. It's like, that's pretty much her involvement.
Right. So yeah, the Flash.
The Flash. Back to the Flash. Yes, back to the Flash.
Back to the Flash, of course. It is. Yeah, I mean, like, you had the Wonder Woman cameo at the beginning. That was nice to see, I guess. But Michael Keaton, I wish there would have been more of him in the movie. Like, that let me down because he was in the trailers a lot.
See, I never saw that. I never saw the trailers, man. I never.
Okay, good.
These days, I refuse to watch the trailers because they will always do to me what they've done to you. And it will disappoint me. You know what I mean?
Right, right. And
I knew Michael Keaton was going to be in the movie. I didn't know in what context. I didn't know how long. I went in expecting him to be in the movie for 5 seconds. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the trailer was almost all focused on the end of the movie, of the action scenes, and it has him do the lines, I'm Batman, want to get nuts, let's get nuts. It's like all the good...
The best parts of the movie.
All the best parts of the movie, I thought, were in that trailer. And yet it was... But for some reason, they didn't focus on what the story was, and so I thought the trailer was quite confusing. But yeah, I agree. In general, trailers have given away too much for a while now. And sometimes you'll get a teaser that's really cool. I mean, you mentioned Man of Steel. I thought that teaser was pretty neat. You had this almost looked like a Terrence Malick film or something with the close-ups they picked and the music.
Man of Steel was a little bit over-dramatic in like the way that they were trying to... They thought that it was this deep, heavy, like emotional, philosophical... Like they wanted to make it seem like it was an actual movie of substance, which... It's a Superman film. Come on. Come on. Why does everyone act like a toy film? These toy films are fucking... I know there's a lot of artists that work on it, but it's not art. It's a toy film. They don't fucking go in because they love it. And all these articles that people lap up, they pretend like they love it, but I bet you they're all like salon suckers behind the scenes. They're taking that money. And, you know, we get pretty mediocre, middling shit. I think it could ascend to something more like Watchmen. That was something that really made you think. You know what I mean? It had something to say. All these movies say nothing. This movie says nothing. The Flash.
You're right. At the end of the day, it's... And doesn't every time travel movie have this plot in that no matter how much you try to say change the past, you can't? Like, there's fate that's involved?
Yeah, we've seen it all before.
There's nothing...
Nothing new here. To the T. The fan service. The only things that made me smile were stuff that reminded me of when I was like 9 years old. But Michael Keaton, Batman, seeing the old Wayne Manor, seeing the old kitchen where he had the date with Kim Basinger. That was really cool. But it's so fucking cheap. It's cheap. Emotional like manipulation, you know what I mean? Like, oh, remember this much better movie?
The score does that a little bit too. It does the old Batman music and Superman music, and there's some pop songs in here, but they went with pretty obvious cuts. They didn't go with something sort of obscure. Like when you're introduced to Batman, Michael Keaton has long hair and it's kind of a Howard Hughes situation.
You know, this makes me think, is it possible that we could see that Warren Beatty Dick Tracy after all?
Wouldn't mind it. He's done those ridiculous like 30-minute things with Leonard Maltin to keep the rights every decade or two.
You think he could get out of his fucking wheelchair long enough to give us a Dick Tracy 2? Come on, man.
You could do Dick Multiverse Dick Tracy. I don't know. Like
but that's the thing, is that he doesn't want anyone else to play Dick Tracy. That's why he's been holding onto the rights. He wants everyone to look at his version as the defining version for this generation and future generations, and he wants to be Dick Tracy, not somebody else. So he'll have to die for those rights to come and go back to, what was it, fucking News Corp or whatever the fuck.
The publisher that has the rights to it.
As long as he's alive and he keeps doing those Leonard Maltin interviews, he'll have the rights ad infinitum.
It's interesting, two of the writers credited on here, they were also supposed to direct it at one point, John Francis Daley and Jonathan Goldstein. They also did the Dungeons and Dragons movie.
Maybe they had a conflict of interest.
Could be a classic conflict of interest. I mean, this went through so many directors before they went on Machete, and each one of those directors had a play or play deal, right? So that's...
Well, look at the Doctor Strange movie. When it first was announced... Mm-hmm. It was supposed to be a much darker, scarier movie. And the director was all about making it like as scary and disturbing as he could. And he was taken off the project and very silently. And the movie changed a lot. It's not scary at all. Like, it's got no edge. It's the typical Marvel through the fucking cookie cutter shit. So anybody who has any kind of like creative, like against the grain, but that's why what's his name was kicked off of Ant-Man. What's his name? The guy from Scott.
Oh, Edgar Wright.
Mm-hmm, because he's just too independent. Yeah. You have to be willing to go through the committee. You know, you have to basically have no thought of your own.
It's a committee. It's a bit of a factory.
Anybody could do it. That's what it is.
Right. You know, that's part of the reason why you get all these reboots every so often is so you can start over with younger actors and not have to pay them as much. And younger directors and
they do pick a lot of young directors, and that's a curse, because they do it because they're cheap, they do it because they're quick, they do it because they don't care about the quality of the product necessarily. If we get something good, like people like M. Night Shyamalan, I don't think that the studio thought this is gonna be a big hit, you know. I think that it was like a happy accident, but that's a whole other
overall, The Flash I thought was okay.
Okay, out of 5 stars.
Out of 5 stars, I would give it 3, I guess.
That high?
Maybe 2.5. 2.5 or 3. I get 2.5, I guess, more than,
because I was gonna say 3. I was gonna say 3.
Okay, if you say 3, I'll say 2.5.
Yeah. Because I mean it was it's a toy film. It was good as a toy film. My 9-year-old self was entertained, but it goes in one ear and out the other. I'm going to forget about it pretty quickly. But I would say don't go see it. If your choice is Craplamental versus this, go see The Flash, please.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where things go. Some people have said, oh, it's superhero fatigue, which is why this isn't doing well. And while there's some truth to that, I think people just want something different, and the Zack Snyder stuff worked for some people and it didn't for others, but for whatever reason, it didn't quite.
I don't know. If you compare this to the recent Marvel shit, would you say that any of the recent Marvel movies are better than this?
Shang-Chi I liked okay.
Yeah, that was all right. That was all right.
I thought it was okay. And then the Sony I haven't seen the Spider-Verse cartoon, but the Spider-Man No Way Home I thought was better than this. But I would say, yeah, as a whole, yeah, the Marvel stuff hasn't been very inspired as of late. It's very cookie cutter. It's very safe.
It's because they don't want to. It's Disney, and
yeah,
they don't lean into action. They lean into like quirky family friendly moments, you know. And I think that's what's making it less exciting, is that the action is contrived, not imaginative, and all the emotional stakes are repetitive because Disney's too afraid to go beyond what's familiar.
Right, and James Gunn, I mean, well, back in the
James Gunn
trauma days, it'll be... Yeah.
I worked with James Gunn, isn't that exciting?
That's right, you did, on Toxic Avenger 4, Citizen Toxie.
Citizen Toxie. James Gunn was an actor.
Yes. That's right.
In the film, he did a very short cameo. He was the professor. He played like a retarded professor or something. And he was teaching the... Because when they go through the other dimensions, he explains the dimensional portal, whatever the fuck nonsense. He was only on the set for like a day. Right. But he was a big trauma guy. He got his start on Terra Firma, and I'm trying to remember what else.
Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, that's too.
Big one.
I think that was before Terra Firma, so that was his first one. But he's big and famous now, and he's now in charge of freaking DC Comics movies, along with the guy from Shazam, which I feel like the Shazam guy didn't earn it as much as James Gunn, because the Shazam guy doesn't have a huge body of work like Gunn, you know?
Right. And
Shazam sucked.
I kind of like the first one. I think that it was a little bit different. It was more funny, but the second one I haven't seen.
Fucking, I read a review of Shazam and I listened to people say that it was so fucking good that I took a girl on a date to see the first movie.
Oh no.
I know. And it made me look like this immature little fucking asshole. Like, she was like, what the fuck? And I was like, oh fuck. I'm like, I look like a fucking tool. Like, she didn't date me after that, but I blame Shazam. I don't blame me.
Yeah, I had something like that happen once years ago where I convinced a girl to go to a Robin Williams film, and it was 1 hour photo, and I knew damn well that was a disturbing movie.
Oh boy.
And that was a very awkward car drive back home from the
Did you just say to her, let's go see the newest Robin Williams film?
And that's what, like, I did, because otherwise she wouldn't have said yes.
So she's thinking like Hook or Jack or something.
I think that's what she was thinking. I mean, I'd read the reviews. I sort of knew it was more of a David Fincher kind of show.
You know, I had a girl dump me once in a harsh way after I took her to see Midnight Meat Train. She said to me, now I know what you're all about. And like all this other fucking weird shit. I'm like, it's just a movie.
But yeah, that's true. Right. Oh, that's like, funny.
It must have fucked her up. Jesus. Yeah, I thought she was going to like it.
So you're saying, as we wrap this up, I guess, with The Flash, you mentioned your theater was pretty crowded.
It was crowded.
Was it people your age? Was it a lot of kids? What was the audience like?
Families. A lot of families. Yeah. And it was packed. It was an early show on a Sunday afternoon. And nice recliner theater, popcorn was good. I didn't see any of the trailers though. Was there any good trailers? Anything good coming out?
There was a lot of trailers, but nothing for, you know, a lot for that sex comedy with Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, that looks like shit though.
That does look like shit. Otherwise, yeah, the Jonathan Nolan Oppenheimer thing.
Yeah, I heard about that with a 70mm film on IMAX, but the closest theater to here is like fucking Miami, and I'm not going to go.
Oh, sure. Yeah, not that much of a drive for a 70mm.
But it sounds that's very commendable that he forced them to do an IMAX release with real film. That's great.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we have one 70mm theater in town. Maybe I'll go see that one there.
Well, no. It's only at certain ones.
Only at certain ones that meet his standards.
Because the one by here is going to have Mission Impossible, and the one in Miami has Oppenheimer. So it's only in 8 theaters. It's sort of like when Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk came out. Only like certain theaters had it in 4K, whatever, high definition, speed rate.
Frame rate, yeah, when that was new. Interesting. But I mean, otherwise, I'd say, you know, with the Barbie movie, I don't know. Like, it was just sort of nothing really surprising. Everything sort of mainstream. I mean, I think that's why less people are going to the movies. I don't know, but I think that was going to happen anyway.
Yeah, they need to announce movies further out.
Yeah.
Like, I know there's a new Star Wars movie supposedly coming out. I heard. Is that that Rogue movie?
That one got.
They get canceled?
Canceled. Or they were going to do like an X-Wing one that looked like cool, but yeah, that's not happening.
Shit, they must have wasted a lot of money on that one.
They did, because it was going to be the Wonder Woman lady that...
They went through a lot of pre-production for that. They were ready to shit. Jesus.
And I mean, what they announced the next Star Wars movie, I don't think is until 2026 or something. they claim they're going to do 3 more, and they're all one-offs, and one of them is, I guess, has Daisy Ridley back as Rey, but I wouldn't hold your breath on those. We'll have to see.
None of the actors who were in those movies are very passionate about Star Wars. So Daisy Ridley, if she came back, it's just for the money. Same thing with
John. It must have been a lot of money. Like with the...
Yeah.
We're getting off track.
Because it's hurt her career, if you ask me.
Sure, and it's such a big payday so early in your career that can't be easy as a
Well, look at Mark Hamill. He had a hard time. He was typecast early on. It wasn't until he got older that he was able to be a successful character actor and voice actor, when he was able to separate himself from the Luke Skywalker character. Because how many movies in the 1980s did you see him, really? It wasn't
he did Broadway for a while in touring shows, and he had in his bio, although known for some space movies, he didn't want to call attention to it. And I think
I'm sure.
All right. So yeah, The Flash, I'd say 2.5. You said 3 out of 5. I think if you're interested in it, go see it. I think the more you know about the comic book stuff or comic book movies or film nerd stuff, I think you'll get more out of it.
I agree. And what do you think of those toys? You think you're going to buy any of those McFarlane Flash toys? The Batwing looks pretty cool, even though it's $250 fucking dollars.
Jeez. Yeah, I wouldn't spend that much on that stuff. But McFarlane has been doing great quality toys for a while. I guess if I was to get one, maybe if they have a Michael Keaton Batman, which I'm sure they do.
Like, they do. They Dark Flash. They have Flash. They have the other version of the Flash, the other Barry, and they have the Supergirl, and I think they have a Zod figure too, and they all fit inside the Batwing or the Batmobile, but I think the Batmobile is sold out.
Smart. Yeah,
I used to collect toys, so I actually check on that shit. I just have to hold myself back from buying it half the time. But this time, I think I might actually buy one because they look really cool.
Yeah, and at least if you're going to, you know, spend money on that, McFarlane does a good job with them. It's not like a $10 action figure or $20. I don't even know what they charge for them at Target anymore. But like,
they're very expensive now. Yeah. They're like $25 each or something. Jeez,
this used to be like $5.
Yeah, I remember when they were like $12 right? Or something. Back in the day, I mean, I was like maybe over 20 years ago, maybe 25 years ago. But anyway, guys, thank you so much, Matt. You've been a great guest, and maybe we will have him back for more movie reviews or even on the show with Oof Ball, because we haven't had a guest on the main show at all yet. And if you have no problem talking politics, maybe we can have you on the show. What do you think?
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, I have no problem talking politics. So,
So anyway, guys. Tell us your handle on Twitter, Matt.
Oh, yeah. My handle on Twitter is at MATWBT.
And tell us about the Sequel Cast.
Sure. Sequel Cast 2 and Friends is part of the Tokyo Beat Podcast Network. I've been doing the show in some form or another since 2009. We look at movies in a sequel. Movies in a franchise, one sequel at a time. We also talk about some video game stuff and pop culture things here and there to mix things up a bit. We are currently looking at I don't think the episode's dropped quite yet because we want to get it all recorded first, but we'll be looking at the Adam West Batman films. So that includes the theatrical film that was released when the show was on, and then the two animated straight-to-DVD features.
Yeah, my father told me an interesting story about him as a child going to the premiere of that, Batman film. And he said that Adam West was there and he was signing autographs for the kids. But
that's back when they didn't charge for autographs.
Yeah, that's back in the day. He must have been a little boy, you know.
Must have been. But yeah, but you can find more information on the show at sequelcast2.com.
Yes, guys. And also tune in, of course, to the next episode of Oof Ball Raw, where we will be talking about politics and stuff, and I don't even know what's going on in the world because I haven't looked at the news because I don't want to, because it's so much better just putting your head in the sand. But yes, my friend, we will see you next time on the show, and have a wonderful day.
Yep, you too. Thanks so much.
Okay, bye-bye.